Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Thomas Morrison, he is not trying to be a modern-day Dr. Brackish Oaken. I don't know
who's
if
that?
He knows. You don't know who Dr. Brackish Oaken is. Okay. In the movie Independence Day, this crazy scientist with long hair, played by Brent Spiner. Now, we don't want you to be that kind of character, except that he was exposed to a real spaceship in that movie. But the thing is here, if we recovered something like that, and we had it somewhere, would there be a group of scientists doing it? Because the thing you mentioned right towards the beginning of the show, with regard to the Pentagon UAP Task Force report, is that we took all that stuff about the UFO field before the early 2000s, and we pretended it never existed. Yeah. All those sightings, all those trace reports from people that maybe some craft had landed, reports of alien implants, possibly something happening at Roswell. We pretended it never happened, and we're starting from scratch.
Mm-hmm. I think that was a strategic move on the part of the military, because if you continue the conversation from where it left off in 1950 or the 60s or wherever you want to say that they basically closed the door on it and decided they're just going to ridicule the whole subject in the mainstream press for the rest of eternity. If you accept that, then they become liable for all of the actions they made. They become liable for the disinformation campaign. They become liable for everybody who lost a job for being interested in UFOs. You know, the legal liability is enormous. So I think they decided, to hell with that. We're not going to open the door to that kind of litigation. Let's just pretend that we just learned about this yesterday and start moving forward like we should have in the beginning. That's my take on it.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. Just before the break there, we were getting into continuing on the idea of a unified field theory, and that if we're going to solve this problem, we need to come up with something that does that. And we were talking about electromagnetism and how really when you get to certain scales, electromagnetism and everything else becomes one unified theory. So maybe we need to work on that. But just before we go any further on this, I do want to ask you a question. And we have a question from Marduk from the forums, too.
Oh, great.
But there's a guy who came up with something called Phoenix Theory. Have you heard of that and looked into it at all?
Because Phoenix Theory, no.
The Phoenix, oh, yeah, okay. Well, you have got to check this out because it is serious. It's not something like just a, you know, like off the top of someone's head. It's real brain-twisting stuff that looks at the universe and all the fundamental forces of nature similar to relativity theory, and that is a geometric approach to making things work. And he claims that it unifies everything. It's all solved by it. And there are some people who are taking it really seriously and other people who are kind of like standoffish. And yet, from what I've seen, nobody has been able to really say that it's not coherent. So something to check into, maybe.
Yeah, I'd like to read about it. I think the main thing you want to look at whenever you've got a claim of that nature is, does it make any predictions that we can test? This was sort of the bugaboo with superstring theory for a long time, is that it was fascinating and elegant theory, but it didn't seem to make any cogent predictions that were, it was non-falsifiable. Like, for every prediction that it made of something, some new effect, there were 10 to the 500th versions of the theory which didn't make that prediction. So you couldn't ever falsify the claim. So that's what you want to look at. If it actually does unify the two, then it should be able to make a prediction that we can test. Yeah.
Well, that's, according to what the guy says, it stands up to every single test of the current model that people are using, and it goes beyond that. And so all the tests that, like every single test they've already done, It all is completely in harmony with that. It doesn't break it anywhere. It completely works with it. And it says, okay, we should be able to do this with it as well. And so that's kind of, there's people who are saying, this is the new future of physics. It's like really serious physics people are saying this.
Well, that's really exciting. I would love to see what kind of predictions it makes that we might be able to test so that we can find out if it makes an accurate prediction. I've never seen yet, I don't think, any kind of proposal that made a prediction that was different from either quantum field theory or general relativity within their own domain. So if we can offer that, then we've
right.
got
well, it. It unifies gravitation with the other four fundamental forces of nature.
Yeah,
this is right up your alley. You'll love it. Check it out.
There was a model. There was a model back in the I think 50s or 60s that where they were looking at a five-dimensional model where you could unify electromagnetism and general relativity. But that proved to be faulty, and they couldn't move forward with that because it made predictions that weren't true. So, you know, I'd love to see something like that. That we need a breakthrough like that. I have no doubt that nature speaks a single language and that we're just seeing two different arms of that language and that ultimately they do unify. It's one universe. It doesn't operate by two different sets of laws. They have to intersect somewhere. I think that the entropic gravity model is a really interesting pathway that might yield fruit. That's kind of an information nature theory that unifies the concepts in quantum field theory with general relativity. So there's work being done on that. Eric Verlinde has been doing a lot of work in that direction. I hope it all bears fruit. He says that he can predict things like dark energy effects with his model. So we should know soon. The dark energy survey being conducted right now is measuring the dark energy effects between an entire wide assortment of galaxy clusters throughout the universe looking for anisotropies, for any kind of inconsistency in the model that we know of today. Where dark energy is directly proportional to distance, that's the end of the story. So if they can find any deviations from that law, then we'll also be looking at a step forward, I think, for gravitational field theory and perhaps a way into a new way of looking, a new way of unifying quantum field theory with general relativity. There's a couple things that I want to touch on real quickly.
Okay. All right. We've got a half hour left on the main episode of the show here, and we'll try and get Marduk's question in before the main show is over.
That sounds great. Okay. So there's two things I want to touch on real quickly that we talked about. Jacques Vallée was analyzing materials. Dr. Gary Nolan. I think people need to know about this because it's really fascinating. I think that Jacques Vallée is honest. So I think that he's telling the truth about this. So he said that they have a material, and one of the elements in that material, they could find three different isotopes of the five that occur naturally. And what he said was that they found them in equal abundances, one-third, one-third, one-third. Okay, that never happens in nature. It doesn't happen in our solar system. It doesn't happen in any other solar system. This is not how physics and nuclear physics works. You will never find an equal distribution of abundances like that unless it's engineered. So somebody had to have separated, and this is his point, somebody had to have separated all of those isotopes and then used those specific isotopes in exact thirds for a reason, a technological reason, right? Unless it was some kind of crazy hoax or something that somebody spent a fortune making for no reason. So that may lead us into a deeper understanding of an exotic technology, if indeed that's what they're dealing with. So that's the paper that they're talking about right now.
Yeah, you know, I hear stuff like that, and I'm cautiously optimistic, but have you heard of the Bob White artifact?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, there was a very similar kind of claim being made with that. Like, this was a piece of material claimed to have come from an unidentified flying object, and it was analyzed for all its various materials that were in it, and it was deemed to have been definitely something that had been the result of some sort of manufacture, and it was so weird looking that people just thought, well, you know, I don't know what this would be made for, but it's, you know, it's pretty bizarre, and so people tended to believe it. Until some of the folks over at the Skeptical Inquirer, you know, I really love those guys. it's you've got to take into account the other guy's point of view and the skeptics too, because what they did is they figured it out.
We'll hear more about Bob White, who was on the Paracast, by the way. When he was still alive, not after. With Gene Randall and Thomas, you're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
It's about time for the 15th anniversary of Sunny Bay. And it may be our 15-year anniversary, but it's your chance at winning from weekly drawings in our contest for better health. We owe our success to you, GCN listeners. So as our thanks, you may win our grand prize, an Amazon gift card, plus Sunny Bay's complete set of superior pain relief products and services, with a total prize value up to $4,152. How do you enter the Sunny Bay 15th anniversary contest for better health? Easy. Just click sunny-bay.com. No purchase necessary. Remember, there will be weekly drawings. Yes, it's our 15th anniversary, and it's your chance to win in Sunny Bay's 15th anniversary contest for better health. For complete contest rules and prize values, visit sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Seven million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at pestworld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Okay, so we're talking here about Bob White and this strange artifact that he was parading around for a number of years. And our friends over at the Skeptical Inquirer, and we do talk to them.
I mean, you have to do that because if you don't, you're just going to leave yourself open to kinds of, you know. So anyway,
Bob White was author of a book called UFO Hard Evidence, which he's talking about this artifact. It was on the August 1st, 2006 episode of the Paracast, which also featured Dr. Jesse Marcel Jr., but in separate segments. Okay, so Skeptical Inquirer gets a hold of this artifact, Randall, and what?
Can they get our old episodes like that on Spotify now, too? Are they all up there now?
Okay, with Apple's podcasts, they only let you show the last 300 episodes. I mean, we think 300 episodes, we've had over 800 episodes. If you count the Paracast Plus, it's 705 episodes. So let me talk about Spotify. Regular Spotify, the entire history of the Paracast is on there. All episodes from the beginning with the free version. We now also offer the Paracast Plus version starting from 2014. Featuring the Paracast with enhanced audio, free of the network ads, and the After the Paracast podcast. That's available also on Spotify for a monthly subscription. Only in the U.S. for now. It'll be expanded worldwide over time. So that explains it. Yes, from Spotify, from the Paracast.com website, you can hear the episodes. The one we talked about with Boyd Bushman from 2007, with Bob White from 2006. Now that we've done that, Randall, how did they resolve this, the Skeptical Inquirer?
Right, well, these guys, okay, so they have a look at this object, and I guess one of their people somewhere, and I'm not going to be able to give all the gory details, but they identified it as a piece of industrial waste, basically a byproduct of a grinding process where specific kinds of metals were shaped into roughly the form that they need, but then it would go through a grinding process to refine the shape. And what would happen is the shavings of this, of the, these various metals would come down and form like a stalagmite.
I remember seeing that.
Right?
It's like a teardrop shape, but it's scaly.
Yeah, it's all, yeah, exactly. It looks like kind of like a giant hair follicle or something. And and so all of these strange elements and combinations of them, and for sure they were manufactured, but there was a really prosaic explanation too. So, you know.
Linden Moulton Howe also had like an arts parts piece that also looks like some kind of industrial slag. I think they even identified the process. It was some kind of lead separation process that could produce this kind of layered slag. Okay, but there's a huge difference, though, between that kind of understandable mistake and a material which has a specific non-naturally occurring abundance of isotopes in the distribution of thirds. That's not something, I mean, we can separate out isotopes, but
if they're grinding down an alloy, you know, an alloy that's got those in those, then you're going to get a buildup of exactly that.
No, but that's the thing, is that there is no alloy on Earth which has that, right? So the isotopic composition is different than anything that you can find in any ore on Earth, and that's what all of our, really almost all of our technology, except for nuclear technology,
right, but
does.
I did say alloy. Alloys are manufactured by us, right? So, you know.
Yes. Yeah, but an alloy is different than...
I'm not an element. I'm not talking elements. I'm talking alloys.
Right. So it's easy to mistake an alloy, you know, like if the alloy is composed of materials which in their elemental distribution have isotopic ratios which are consistent with terrestrial abundances, then you're going to have a terrestrial material that's just some kind of weird industrial product. You're not going to find that kind of thing with weird isotopic distributions, because we don't really engineer with isotopic specific isotopes, except for in like the nuclear technologies, which are, you know, which are very specific and limited. You don't, you know, it's always either a really light element or a really heavy element where they isolate the specific isotopes. They also isolate specific isotopes of all the elements on the periodic table for research purposes, but it's expensive and you're not going to come across that sitting out in a field, you know. So
well, I mean, see, highly refined things out there, ores down to individual elements. elements of various isotopes.
Yeah.
Then put put them together with alloys. So
don't confuse elements with isotopes.
You know, okay, I know, but no,
we can separate
isotopes. Isotopes are just a different version of an element, basically.
So. It's a finer technology, right? So there's like 92 stable naturally occurring elements. So we separate those out and use them for industrial purposes all the time. We purify them all the time. What we very rarely do is go a step further and isolate the specific isotopes of each element, right? There's like 243, I think, naturally occurring stable isotopes. We don't engineer with matter at an isotopic level yet. So what Jacques Vallée and Dr. Gary Nolan are onto are... It's something very interesting. If they do have what they say they have, and they write a paper and it gets peer reviewed and published, we should all read it. And you know, because
it could be
a linchpin to understanding an exotic technology.
If we don't look at it, we're not going to know. That's for sure. I think is, you know, it needs to also have some kind of design into it. Like there was years ago they were talking about one of these samples that was allegedly shot off of a UFO by a jet interceptor that was pursuing it, and this piece that the pilot reported as being glowing went right down to the ground where it was recovered. And according to the you know, whether you believe it or not, it seems to be a reasonable kind of chain of evidence that goes along with it, that it was composed of these nanospheres of a type of magnesium, and we seem to see that more than once when we're talking about these materials. So when you get like a lattice work that resembles like a crystalline structure of a very specific type of an element, I mean, that's looking manufactured. Sure.
Yeah, I think Wilbur Smith talked about that. I think that he referenced that in an email or something to somebody. We never actually got to examine that material, but we heard about the analysis.
Right.
I don't know what happened to that sample, but that was really fascinating. If my thinking is correct on the subject, then the material of the hull of these craft is really the key to understanding how they move.
How do you think that works then? How is that?
I think that like what we're seeing with certain metamaterials research right now, there's some studies being done on the electromagnetic stress energy tensor and how it works with certain types of metamaterials. They find that they can engineer the stress energy tensor within the material. So you could, in theory, make a material heavier or lighter depending on how you manufacture it and how you activate it. So we're already seeing steps in that direction right now. They're very timid kind of first steps in that direction, but it points to the idea that a material, by engineering a material properly, you should be able to modulate the stress energy tensor, which is the key factor in general relativity for creating gravitational fields.
So, we're going to break now. Thomas Morrison joining us with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
We've all seen, and perhaps use, the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brad Bernard. Anger and frustration mounted as President Joe Biden showed no signs of reversing plans to allow a nationwide eviction moratorium to expire at midnight Saturday. One Democratic lawmaker even camping outside the Capitol in protest as millions of Americans were about to be forced from their homes. Congressman James P. McGovern, Democrat from Massachusetts and chairman of the House Rules Committee.
Research tells us that if someone is evicted, They are most likely to move in with friends or family or into a shelter. That only increases community spread and leads to more infections.
Australia's east coast states of New South Wales and Queensland faced an escalating battle against the COVID-19 Delta variant on Sunday, with millions under strict lockdown and authorities urging more testing and vaccinations to rein in the outbreaks. This is USA Radio News. Unable to produce the final text of a nearly $1 trillion infrastructure bill, the Senate wrapped up a rare Saturday session making little visible progress on the legislative package, but Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer vowed the work would get done. The Senate planned to reconvene Sunday. Senators and staff have been laboring behind the scenes for days to write what is certain to be a massive piece of legislation. An early draft swelled beyond 2,500 pages.
If you are vaccinated, you have 25 times less chance of getting hospitalized or dying.
Dr. Megan Rainey, Brown University emergency physician. Florida reported 21,683 new cases of COVID-19, the state's highest one-day total since the start of the pandemic, according to federal health data released Saturday. The state has become the new national epicenter for the virus, accounting for around a fifth of all new cases in the U.S. This is USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
You know, when I think of what Thomas is doing here, we're talking about the various influences, frankly, of the presence of UFOs, how our science may reach a point where we could do some of the things these UFOs are capable of doing in terms of maneuverability, maybe be able to take us to the stars in a relatively short period of time. And I think of the phrase that was coined by a writer, say, 60 years ago, Ray Palmer, flying saucers are here to make us think. And maybe it is that the presence, the entire presence of the UFO mystery, just a theory, folks, is not here to represent aliens, although it could be, but to make us think about things, just like sci-fi makes us think. Star Trek made us think. And we had cell phones, and we had tablets, not necessarily from Star Trek, I think from 2001. The point being, we talked about possibly developing warp drive as a result of Star Trek. UFOs, look what they do. Look at their maneuverability. We think, in terms of our science, trying to do something like that. And maybe that's all they're here for. And once we get to point A, they'll take us to point B.
Yeah, I think that it is a really interesting question to raise. I think it's impossible to know if this is an intentional effect or if it's just a side effect. But I do note that a lot of people who have these kind of experiences, even a modest sighting like my own, are prompted to dig and study and research and think and look at new possibilities and new ways. And more than that, by showing us an example of what can be done, we are given the gift of knowing that it's possible and therefore just trying to work backwards on how to get there. If we hadn't ever seen UFOs in our atmosphere, we probably wouldn't be asking these kinds of questions. We probably wouldn't be looking for warp field propulsion. Even having the rumors circulating in our culture that this is happening and this could be done, these are the performance characteristics, really gets a lot of bright minds thinking. And I think a lot of people in your audience probably feel the same way. Just it's one of the things I love about this subject is just about every leading edge scientific, theoretical, breakthrough, engineering concept, you dig into all of it when you're studying this subject. Everything from nuclear physics to cosmology to astrophysics to theoretical physics to materials engineering. I mean, if you want to dig into this subject, you're going to have to open up a book and start digging because there's a lot to learn.
You are so right. This is one of the things that I've always loved about ufology. If you take it seriously, I mean, it's got a wonderful cultural angle as well, but if you look at it objectively, you can dig all the way down into the science books as far as you want to go to try and figure out what's going on, and you will still not find it. It's going to take inventiveness. It takes intelligence. It's just so fascinating.
No, even if you're not finding the answers, you're learning how to ask really interesting questions, and you're finding out a lot of interesting data that you would never have come across otherwise.
We're talking superconductors and crystal lattices.
That's right.
And spectroscopic analysis, and once you learn about that stuff, you learn about how they're related to the rest of the things that we do and we do know about, and our wonderful discoveries in everyday science as well. It's just such a mind-expanding subject. It's Yeah, I mean, we're on the same track there. All right, so let's get to Marduk's question here.
Sure.
All right. We're talking about some electromagnetics. He asked, I'll just read it sort of verbatim here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's been, and maybe you know something about this as well, he's been in communication with Ray Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
And Ray Stanford apparently had done some experiments where he was able to bounce a laser off of the field that one of these craft was making, he claims.
That's right.
So what he says here is, while we're talking about Stanford, what is your take on Stanford's contention that UFOs use electromagnetic plasmas akin to magnetohydrodynamic propulsion? He claims to have definitive evidence of plasma sheaths with demonstrable field effects. Others, like guys at UFOtheory.com, say it's distorting space-time to move. Finding a field-testable working theory would be great progress indeed, instead of endless hypothesizing. So, okay, so where do we go with that?
Okay, so Ray Stanford's model is echoing something that Stan Friedman was looking into also. Whether you want to call it magnetoplasma dynamic or magneto-aerodynamic, what that concept entails is creating a strong electrical field so you can polarize the atmosphere around the craft, and then accelerating the ions behind you to create a reaction acceleration of the craft forward. All right, so that's an interesting and viable idea. I think that military technology could probably make use of that. It doesn't seem to explain the kinds of incidents that we run into with, like, the Tic Tac, you know, AAV from the Nimitz case, for example, because it's still a reaction propulsion system. And there's a couple things that are notable about these kind of incidents. One is they don't create burning trail of plasma behind them. What you would see with any kind of reaction propulsion, whether it's magnetoplasmodynamic or any other, you'd create a huge burning pillar of fire behind you as you travel using that kind of system, or really any kind of system. The Tic Tac, I estimated on sort of back of the envelope calculation, according to Kevin Day, that I think he said that the objects were dropping from like 28,000 feet down to the surface of the ocean in 0.78 seconds. If you do like an average speed on that, you end up with speeds that are twice as great as the space shuttle. And when the space shuttle goes
totally hypersonic, yeah.
Yeah, totally hypersonic, and the space shuttle is like creating a huge burning flame trail as it enters the atmosphere. It's got the heat shields and everything. The thing is engulfed in flame, and it's coming down from the upper atmosphere while it's doing this. These kind of objects are capable of twice that speed at sea level. So anything that was using a reaction propulsion system would be enveloped in flame and create a huge sonic boom and all that kind of stuff, right? So it's a great idea. It's a cool idea. I think that it's got applications, but I don't see how it could explain the performance characteristics we're seeing with AAVs, anomalous aerial vehicles, or, if you prefer, UFOs.
Yeah, I guess I suspect all are nodding our heads in agreement with that. Whatever they're doing, however they are doing it, it's almost as if you're suggesting that they're not really moving. It's more like an illusion to us. They're manipulating the reality around them. It's almost like they're able to operate in some quasi hyperspace or something.
It seems really exotic and kind of it seems that kind of magical to us, but in reality it's really not. When you look at the physics, the truth is that if you were standing on board something like the Tic Tac and it accelerated from a standstill to 50,000 miles an hour, you wouldn't feel a thing because you're standing on a piece of space-time which is kind of flat. But the distortion field is moving you from one position to another. You're not acquiring momentum. You're not acquiring energy. You wouldn't feel any acceleration at all. You could zigzag through the atmosphere, and you'd be standing there, and you wouldn't feel any forces at all. There's no G-forces with this kind of with general relativity propulsions.
Yeah, they all cancel out when you think about it. I mean, yeah. It's, you know... Which would be a byproduct of making it work that way. It's just like, it's just that, how, right? That's the part we still have to figure out. And what is really cool about your statement, like you having seen a UFO yourself, myself, and along with countless other people, is, yeah, we've seen them, so we know it's possible.
That's right.
What do you do, though, when you get these people that just go, I don't even want to listen to it. It's not possible, and therefore, whatever it is, it's all just people making things up or whatever. There's still those people out there. Do we just kind of ignore them, or do we try to convince them, or how do we deal with those kind of people?
Okay, well, I like to listen. So, for example, Mick West is popular nowadays because he's been very vocal and very effective at debunking a lot of prosaic evidence, which has been presented as anomalous, right?
We'll talk about Mr. West in our next segment with Gene Randall and Thomas. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience, so I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Right now, millions of Americans have an uneasy feeling about the future. That's why they're quietly stockpiling as much emergency food as they can. What about you? Do you have enough emergency food to get you through a prolonged crisis? If not, take a moment to shop My Patriot Supply. We're America's leader in emergency preparedness and survival. Since 2008, we've served several million American families like yours. In fact, our mission is your survival. So head on over to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few of our tasty emergency food kits. Our food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage and is shipped quickly and discreetly to your door. One day, you might be eating breakfast, lunch, or dinner while everyone else is standing in a food line. Avoid that. It's too late to act once the other shoe drops. It's time to be self-reliant and prepared, and now you can. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties.
So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system. And it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit ShopSuperTea.com. That's Shop, S-H-O-P, Super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is ShopSuperTea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, California time. That's ShopSuperTea.com at 818-984-6100.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We should mention here that Thomas Morrison has been hoodwinked to hang in here for after the Paracast. He can't leave until he does that. He's laughing. He doesn't know the hand is going to come out of the screen. Hold him by the neck. And say,
are we already?
You will stay.
Have we made the transition, or
you'll be surprised? Let's talk about Mr. West, because he's quoted everywhere. He seems like a decent guy.
Oh yeah, he's got a much more placid demeanor than I have by a long shot. I think his civility is laudable. And he makes great arguments. I mean, he's debunked a lot of prosaic incidents which, you know, have been presented as UFOs and that kind of thing. And I have to commend him for that. The problem is that he seems to think that because some of the evidence is prosaic, that all of it is prosaic. And, you know, I had trouble understanding why he was so invested in debunking absolutely every piece of evidence of any kind that came forward to suggest that we may be visited by extraterrestrial technologies on occasion. And then there was a New Yorker article, I think it was, that talked went into length about his work and his life and talked a little bit about his book. And in his book, he states that when he was a child, he had heard about a story in England where somebody had claimed that aliens had come and abducted them and run experiments and so forth. And he was absolutely terrified. He was like shaking in his boots about this concept that an advanced, intelligent alien race could come to the Earth and pull him out of his bed and do terrible things to him. And that's when I realized that he's basically been kind of comforting his inner child by trying to discredit the entire idea that we could be visited by a more advanced civilization. I think he may have been involved or had heard about how that got debunked, that's that particular story, but he's been kind of on a mission ever since. I think that he's done a great job in most cases of finding prosaic explanations for certain events, but I think that he's gone astray on trying to debunk the three clips from the DOD, which have been officially designated as evidence of unidentified incursions.
Well, we talked a bit about that, actually, before your appearance on the show. And actually, I'd like to bring that up because you made a really good point that Mick had me completely convinced that the Go Fast video was, nothing to it. Because all of the information that was required to arrive at his conclusions are right there in the video itself. And the parallax effect definitely explains it. And then you made the point,
just because it's moving slow, and I think his math and his analysis is excellent, just because it's moving slow doesn't mean that it's not an anomalous object. I mean, he didn't actually positively identify what it is. All he did is say that it's not going fast. Well, we already know that the labels to these videos can happen really at any point in the intelligence collection chain and really have no bearing on the content of the videos. So the fact that it's going slow doesn't necessarily mean anything. I mean, we know from the Tic Tac incidents that the craft that Kevin Day observed on the radar screen were moving at only 100 knots at 28,000 feet. We hear similar cases where, you know, we've got very slow-moving anomalous objects that other intelligence indicates that really is something extraordinary. So we don't have the full story. We don't have the radar data. We don't know the context of that clip. So I think it's premature to say that case solved. It's just not that simple. I see similar problems with the FLIR 1 video analysis, and, you know, where he's talking about it could be an aircraft. Yeah, we got Chad Underwood, who actually was there and saw the thing, and he describes it as a white object. I mean, how did he even know the color was white if all he ever saw was through his instrumentation system? We can see in the video that it was clearly jamming. It was clearly jamming his radar system because he couldn't get a range on the thing. The range is stuck at 99.9. It was just buried. How does that happen? And how did the object escape from his target lock in the first place? What object can do that? Can any passenger plane or any military jet interceptor escape a target lock? Why was it having such a hard time locking in the first place? The thing keeps kind of struggling to keep a maintained track on that thing. So there's a lot of unanswered questions here.
But isn't that the way skeptics sometimes do it, Thomas?
Yeah.
They'll take one part of the story,
yeah,
subdivide it, and say, okay, this could be that. And then they ignore everything else.
What I find interesting is that the debunkers want to call themselves skeptics, but the skeptical method is the opposite of that. The skeptical method is to look at all of the pertinent data, call out the most interesting and credible parts of that data, and when you have multiple witnesses, like four different pilots observing the same object, then you can pretty much trust that the consistencies in their story will be pretty much accurate, at least in broad terms. And so they saw the Tic Tac object depart with such speed, with no sonic boom, and then appear at their cap point seconds later. Actually, I think that might have been the numbers that I used to calculate twice the speed of the space shuttle when you looked at the general speed that they were talking, because it was something like 60 miles and it was only a matter of seconds. So, you know, this is not an explained. I think that what happened, and this is, you know, people might want to eviscerate me for this, but my understanding of what's going on is a little different than other people's. I think that what has happened is Luis Elizondo and Christopher Mellon and the ATIP team, they decided that they wanted to take this to the public. Like, there was some discussion about that, and they tried to find out what evidence could they get out to the public that would indicate the presence of these objects in our airspace. And among those cases where they had evidence, classified evidence, radar evidence, maybe satellite observations, maybe additional ground-based radar systems, where they had additional classified evidence to support the extraordinary nature of those encounters. So the public only got a tiny, tiny whiff of what those cases actually involved. And I think that what they were doing is they released those clips to the public and started talking about them and got the New York Times article and everything in order to generate interest among Washington officials, so that when the people who were on the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence asked about these cases and were given closed-door briefings, they got to see that classified evidence, and it made their hair stand on end, because things have been happening fast in Washington. People have changed their tune in a heartbeat. They've seen something behind those closed-door briefings that we have not seen that is really compelling. So I think this is all part of their strategy in order to change policy in Washington and to start getting this subject out into the public mainstream.
But of course, that raises the big question, and we're going to have to wrap this and continue on after the PowerCast. But the big question it raises here is, okay, what were they doing for the past 60 years? So we have all the stuff that's happening now, and what are they going to do? Are they going to now look back at the evidence that was gathered? Did they gather the evidence? Did they just stick it in the corner? Say, well, this doesn't fit within our frame of reference.
Well, we saw that Harry Reid applied for Special Access Program classification for the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, and he was refused that level because it's very costly. I think it costs 10 times more to have the security for a program like that than it does to actually run the program. So what's interesting, though, is I think that they were trying to do that so they would have access to other Special Access Program level intelligence from programs that have been existing for decades studying this very subject. I think they wanted to trade data with those programs, and they couldn't. They couldn't get that classification. So I think that study has been ongoing, and I think that it would be a dereliction of duty for anybody in the military to put a halt to that kind of investigation, because you're talking about performance characteristics and technological capabilities that would absolutely lead to U.S. dominance in the military arena.
Hey, Thomas, tell our listeners, do you have a website they can check you out at?
I have a little website, morrisonsculpture.com, where people can see my artwork. But I keep that very separate from my study of UFOs and the theoretical physics pertaining to it. They can hear some of the theoretical physics podcasts that we do on Physics Frontiers on iTunes. We have a Podomatic website that has all of our episodes. All of them are free. All of them are commercial free. And I also engage, I'm a moderator at the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program discussion cell on Facebook. It's a mouthful, and it's all spelled out.
You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. Find us on Facebook, where they're now going to also list the free version of the Paracast amongst their podcasts. You can find us on Spotify. Boy, we're everywhere. We also have the Paracast shop at theparacast.shop, where you can buy branded merchandise. Really, really, really great stuff. Theparacast.shop. And then there's the Paracast Plus. Go to theparacast.plus. We offer this show free of the network ads, higher quality audio, the After the Paracast podcast with more discussions, like Thomas will continue on that one. And you could get a special discount if you subscribe for a lifetime. Use the coupon code UFO20. Okay? Check out the Paracast.plus, the Paracast.plus. Thomas Morrison, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you, Gene, and I'll see you on the forums.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.